Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Appearance Radio with Augusto Perez. On today's Mailbag Show, we'll be discussing prophetic current events, answering your questions, sharing praise reports, and praying over your prayer requests. We'll also be taking communion after the music break. Now, here is Augusto.
Welcome to the Appearance Radio Mailbag Show. I am Augusto Perez, and shalom. Today is Tuesday, and it is May 7th, 2024, in the year of our Lord. We're going to bring you the latest in headline news, commentaries, analysis, as we see it through the eyes of Bible prophecy and the Word of God. Well, how can we say it? Larry's not with us today, Chuck and myself, and we're going to look at some of these things that are happening. And I was looking before the program, Chuck, at some of these things that are making the rounds in the news. And it looks like there is a lot of activity going on over there in Russia. I was reading in Russia Today a news article that was put out yesterday that Putin orders tactical nuclear weapons drills. And this is a drill that checks the military's ability to use smaller range systems. And so that was pretty interesting, trying to send a message to Macron in France. They better not mess around with Russia. And quickly, after this happened, Macron quickly, made a statement in the news that they had no intention of sending troops to Ukraine, and they had nothing against Russia and its people, blah, blah, blah. So France stood down the moment Russia showed them that they meant business. So there you have it. This is a kind of the situation that is happening right now. Russia, we know, has a lot of nuclear-capable weapons, long-range intercontinental ballistic missiles, smaller-range tactical nukes, you name it. And so, I mean, these people still insist on carrying on with the war in Ukraine, even though that war is pretty much already won by Russia. But that is the way these people are. They want a war at any cost. The special, rich men of the earth, the elite, powers that be, this is what they want. So again, that's nothing new. We have talked about this multiple times ad nauseum. On another piece of news, Israel has just launched a ground offensive in Rafah, in Gaza. Again, they were told not to do that. They were warned by this country and other countries not to do that. But Israel, it's going to be Israel. And they went ahead and attacked Rafah with airstrikes, tanks, and troops, a ground offensive, you name it. And so this is happening probably even as we're doing the program, heavy artillery attack, airstrikes on southern Lebanon. I mean, this war is expanding. And when you thought that maybe it was winding down, there it goes. It picks up again. And so I don't understand the logic here. I mean, what is Israel trying to do except probably trying to start a war there as well? We know who controls the state of Israel, the Jewish people, the Orthodox Jews, just like the Christians here in America. They are, they are basically at the mercy of the government, the state of Israel, of the Zionist government. And many of those people have spoken out. The rabbis, the Orthodox rabbis, they have spoken out many times in the past, saying that they are not in favor of the Zionist state of Israel. They are not in agreement with the decisions that they make, and they denounce it. I mean, they have spoken very, very strongly against the Zionist government there. So. of course, the Christians here in America still probably are not awake yet to that fact. And they still believe that the Zionist government in Israel can do no harm. And, you know, the truth of the matter is that, you know, government in Israel, the government in the United States, it's not the people. The people of Israel are beautiful people. I met some in the past. They're beautiful people, just like people here in America. They're beautiful people. There's a lot of good people here, the salt of the earth people here in America. Not everybody is corrupt, but they get blamed. They get blamed along with the government. And this is where we are with Israel. So, again, anytime, and now they wanted to pass a law, or they are trying to pass a law, that it is forbidden to say anything against the Zionist government in Israel, or Netanyahu, or anything like that. Can you believe that? Yep, this is happening. This is happening. This is happening in America. And so there's a lot of weird stuff going on. And while the beat goes on, you know, we just have to keep our eyes open to stay in prayer, because there are also positive things happening along with the bad.
Yeah, the people of Israel are very nice. Several years ago, well, it was just before the scamdemic started, my wife and I, along with another group, went to the Middle East. We visited Dubai, Egypt, Israel, and Jordan. And the people in Israel were very nice. And actually, the people that we came in contact with in all of the countries were great. We had some great tour guides who showed us around and everything. One of the highlights for me actually was in Egypt. We went to the museum there. They had this huge museum, and we saw the that golden thing that went on the coffin or whatever of King Tut, solid gold. And if you see that thing in person, it's just astounding. But the people were very nice. And it is a shame about what is happening there in Israel and Gaza. It's just unbelievable what Netanyahu is doing. Although not too long ago here, I think it was Mike Adams on his website learned that there is, I think, a desire for Israel to build a canal from the Mediterranean down to the south of Israel, which would put the Suez Canal run by the Egyptians out of business. So if that comes to pass, then there's another problem there. Egypt will probably want to attack Israel and stop that from happening, because the Suez Canal brings in a lot of money for Egypt. The French used to own it. A lot of money was put up to rebuild it, and then Egypt was supposed to be part owner in this thing, and they just one day decided that it was on their land, so it belonged to them. And oh man, you talk about a big row over that. But it's a shame what is happening there in Gaza and with Netanyahu. But these people, these leaders, are getting their orders from above, and you'll see them doing things that are just unbelievable, especially Macron, who I read somewhere where it said that that France had declared war on Russia. Well, isn't that really special? How long do you think France would last in a war against Russia? Russia has very sophisticated weapons, and it's everything. You know, it's amazing that Putin hasn't started using his weapons yet. He's using restraint because he knows he can win this war. And of course, then you have China. They're just itching to do this also, to get into a war with America. So it's really a shame to see all of this happening and ramping up. But of course, we know these people want war, and they're doing everything to get a war started. So it's really a dangerous period right now, especially for the United States, full of illegal immigrants. Most of them are military age men from China and probably Russia as well, although the Russians can come in from Canada. They can come into Canada and Alaska and then just come down through the northern border. So it is really just an amazing time that we live in to see all of this, very dangerous. So we just have to keep all this in prayer, of course.
Yeah. We're living in very strange times, very unusual times. And then while this is going on, and you were mentioning about, you know, the attacks of Israel, the state of Israel on Gaza, 12 senators here in the United States threatened the judge and the judges. And now there's an article, and it came out on Hall Turner, that it says the 12 U.S. senators commit a federal felony, 18 U.S.C. 1503. This was in April 24, where 12 United States senators, in their zeal to protect Prime Minister Netanyahu from indictment and arrest warrant from the International Criminal Court, they sent a letter to an official U.S. state, an official letter to the Office of the Prosecutor of the International Criminal Court in Hague, Netherlands. And they objected in the letter to the issuance of warrants for Netanyahu and other members of the Israeli government. And they said, target Israel and we will target you. If you move forward with the measures indicated in the report, we will move to end all American support of the ICC, sanction your employees and associates, and bar you and your families from the United States. You have been warned. Now, this is another threat. So when I read this, you know, I thought there was something very strange here. So I said, let me go read to see who sent the letter. And of course, a lot of the people that sent the letter are the usual neocons, the usual rhinos like Mitch McConnell and Tom Cotton, and people like Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio and, you know, the sort, James Scott. And so, I don't know. There's a lot. I mean, what you said there, Chuck, is very, very interesting. There's always something like that behind a war. When you see a war, when you see an attack happen, there's always some money behind it. Follow the money. And so here we see probably that this is the case again. Very sad what's going on, the politics. And they treat human lives like, I mean, human lives are worthless. No matter how many people get killed, innocent Palestinians. There's a lot of innocent Palestinians. I have met some Palestinian people. They're beautiful people too. I went to Cuba many years ago, and I met with the Palestinian ambassador there. Pastor friend of mine was invited by the Egyptian consulate. They had a dinner, and, you know, we were invited because we were helping, you know, I was helping, and the church was helping, but I was helping on my own, you know, on the side to bring in some medical equipment, medicine, and that sort of thing to Cuba, because they didn't have even a stethoscope, the doctors. Complained to me during that dinner, one of them complained to me that he didn't have a stethoscope. One of the most brilliant open-heart surgeons in Cuba told me he made $25 a month and told me, I don't even have a stethoscope. I have to borrow stethoscopes from other doctors. There's not enough stethoscopes to go around. So we managed to get him a boatload of stethoscopes and all kinds of medical equipment back then. And the Palestinian ambassador was sitting right next to me with his wife. His wife was also a doctor, and he was telling me about the same thing, the shortage. And we struck, you know, a conversation, and he was very, very, very nice. And I told him, I said, I'm gonna get your wife some stethoscopes and some other medical equipment. And I mean, he was just ecstatic. And I got to pray with him. In his embassy there in Cuba, you know, we looked, you know, I took the Bible, I read from the Bible, and then he took the Quran, of course, and, you know, mentioned something about the Quran. But that, you know, I prayed with him. The important thing, I prayed with him, and he felt the presence of God. And so all I'm saying is that, you know, there are good Palestinian people. unfortunately, they hate each other. The Jews and the Palestinians hate each other. But you know, this hatred, this animosity, and this feelings like this, it wasn't there before. It was not there before. It all started. Jews got along with the Palestinians, and everything was fine until, you know, the Jews were given the land officially and declared the state of Israel in 1948. After that, then the animosities begin to happen. And before that, I mean, you can look it up yourselves. The Jewish rabbis and the Palestinians, clergy, they got along with each other. So anyway, for what it's worth, I just wanted to share that. Now, as we continue, Marjorie Taylor Greene urges America to brace for a summer of jihad, funded by O'Biden's donors. So now, here's another voice, and she probably knows more than we realize, and she's speaking out. And now she's saying that Americans need to brace for a summer of jihad as the pro-Palestinian activists expand their protests across the country. Green made the comments in response to a video shared by journalist Ian Miles Chong, showing a pro-Palestinian crowd in New York City threatening to escalate their threats. So we know that these are paid players, people that get paid by the government. We know that. We know that this has happened in the past. We remember the Summer of Love, right, where the Black Lives Matter riot took place in 2020. That was the summer of 2020. And they trashed many towns, cities, neighborhoods, and there was a lot of chaos and disorder and looting and violence. And so now there is a warning about another summit of jihad. And so there you have it. This is still another voice that is speaking out and talking about there's going to be violence this summer. So they must know something, and she's just sounding the alarm.
She does know a lot more than she probably lets on. But I think I sent you something the other day, you and Larry, about drones that are entering the country, entering the U.S., and I believe it's from the southern border, and they may be coming in from the northern border as well. But the enemy is sending drones in, some of them to spy, and these drones can also be used to cause damage and kill people. I saw a video once where, this is over in Ukraine, the Ukrainians sent a drone out that had gas bombs on it. And they found a couple of Russians somewhere, and they were directly over them with the drone, and they dropped these gas bombs. I don't know what kind of gas it was, and it killed both of those guys. So we don't know what they are sending in with these drones. I've seen drones that are armed. It was one that had a 45 caliber revolver attached to it, and that thing was firing away. They could just send a drone in and, you know, blow somebody away very easily. So we have that going on. And it's no surprise about the senators who have done what they have done, committing a felony. Many of them are being blackmailed or threatened or whatever. I don't know. They'll use any means necessary to get these senators and also the congressmen and women on their side and doing what they want them to do, because they just threaten them. And these people they're walking in fear is what they're doing. And so they go along with the program, and it's not going to work out well for them. They think they're protecting themselves and they've got the money and all of that, but in the end, it's just not going to work out for them. These people, like you said, human life means nothing to them. There is a video on InfoWars with Alex Jones. I haven't watched it yet, but I was looking through the different videos to see what they're talking about. And there's one there. They have this on tape. It is Bill Gates and Borla, who is the CEO of Pfizer, actually bragging about the deaths that have been brought about by these shots that they put out there. These people are proud of what they're doing in murdering millions of people and hurting other people and just destroying their health. These are the kind of people that we are dealing with. So it's all over the place. And, you know, it really breaks my heart when you were talking about the Cuba doctors who didn't even have a stethoscope. So that's nice that you did that, that you got those two of those people. But it's another thing that's really a shame is the hatred, as you spoke of, Augusto, between the Palestinians and the Jews. And I can understand it, you know, to a degree because of the declaration of the State of Israel in 1948. And so many of the Palestinians were displaced. But this has got to stop somewhere because hatred will just eat you up alive. It can really do that for an individual or a group of people versus another group of people, such as the Palestinians versus the Jews. It's really a shame to see this going on. But the war is in the verge, on the verge of escalating, and I think as we get into the summer, things are really going to really get hot.
That is what we are being warned, that it's going to happen. So if you have any trips planned, have your wits about you and check to, you know, where you're going. You don't want to be going to a bad area where you're going to see this kind of thing happen. And so you don't want to put your life and the lives of your loved ones in danger, in harm's way. There's another article here I wanted to share, and that is came from the Independent Sentinel. Department of Defense meets resistance as they try to seize the National Guard. So O'Biden is trying to seize control of the state National Guard. You know, the National Guard is the army, basically, the military of the states. Each state has a National Guard. And Florida has a National Guard, and Texas has a National Guard, and all of this, Tennessee has a National Guard. Every state has a National Guard. And so what O'Biden is trying to do is take control of the National Guard. In other words, leave the states defenseless. And it gets more interesting, okay? Keep listening. It gets really more interesting. The administration is centralizing every possible agency and private companies, of course, because what they want is one big government with them in charge of everything. That is what centralization is. No. The states have no jurisdiction. The states have no authority. Everything comes from us. Food comes from us. Energy comes from us. Everything comes from us. And then when that happens, then it's, if you do not do what we say, you're a bad hombre, and you will not be dealt with very nicely. This is the way people are. This is tyranny. This is communism. And these people want to really squeeze the tourniquets, you know, tighten the clamps, if you will, and really begin to, you know, remove every possible way that the states can fend for themselves. And so the administration is trying to centralize every agency and probably private companies and with executive orders. Not legal orders where they has to be passed by 2/3 majority in the Senate and Congress. No. Forget about that. Forget about the Constitution. No. I'll just write an executive order like a dictator and be done with. Mm-hmm. So they want to do this with executive orders, rules and regulations and memos, providing guidance to put all the control in the hands of the executive. What does that sound to you, people? You know the old saying, if it walks like a duck, if it quacks like a duck, it is a duck. This is tyranny. When you have one office and one person in control of every single thing and nobody else, you know, is able, the states are not able to do anything. They cannot govern themselves, which is constitutional. When you have that kind of stuff going on, then you know what we're looking at. We're staring into the face of tyranny. And so when a government becomes that large, it cannot be held accountable. They are unaccountable. And so they want to transfer loyalty from the states to federal government. They see that this is increasing. They see what is happening with many states. They see that states are becoming rebellious and bellicose, you know, that they don't want to submit to the authority of the feds. And so now they're trying to take away, strip them piece by piece of the means that they have to defend themselves. So now they're trying to do this with the National Guard. And so in March, the Defense Department asked Congress to override a law requiring governors to approve changes to National Guard units. The proposal would allow the Defense Department to have unilateral power to transfer units to the Space Force. Because the article says, because you never know when Martians will land, of course. I mean, can you believe this? Why would they need to transfer the National Guard units to the Space Force? So anyway, Greg Abbott, because he's using the National Guard in the border, he was a number one target. And so there is resistance already to this attempt by the government. Representative Jason Crow from Colorado, he's a Democrat, the founding co-chair of the Space Force Caucus, wrote a letter representing some House and Senate Republican and Democrat members. He called the proposal deeply flawed. And he said, and this is a Democrat, Jason Crow, he said that he would undermine the National Guard. But don't you understand, Mr. Crow, that is what they want, sir, to undermine the National Guard? Wake up and smell the coffee, Mr. Crow. This is not about Democrat or Republican. This is about the undermining of the nation, sir. And people still don't get it. And there's a lot of good Democrats out there. And there's a lot of them Democrats that are opening their eyes and they're seeing the sinister hand of communism and dictatorship lurking in the dark. They're beginning to see it. Earlier this week, 48 states, territories, and Commonwealth governors wrote a letter opposing the proposal to Secretary of Defense Austin. And DeSantis, Governor DeSantis, opposed it in a letter separate from the 48 other governors. DeSantis said the proposal would flout more than a century of precedent and undermine federal law protections for state control of the National Guard forces. The Florida governor said the current code is a good sense a statutory requirement, ensuring the National Guard members work for domestic crisis response. So he said, as a low-lying, storm-prone state, Florida is uniquely vulnerable to hurricanes, flooding that requires significant operational ready logistics and disaster support, including our own National Guard units. Abbott, Governor Abbott, was more blunt. He wrote an intolerable threat to the National Guard. He noted that he would give the Secretary of the Air Force unilateral authority to transfer National Guard to the Space Force. And Abbott stated, says, and this would mean they could transfer the National Guards on a whim. Isn't that nice? So anyways, the Utah governor, Spencer Cox, wrote in it, totally unacceptable. He says to move the National Guard units to the Space Force without consultation or approval from governors is totally unacceptable.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me what they're trying to do as far as taking away the National Guard from control of the states and putting it under the government. That way they would have all of these extra military individuals working for the government rather than for the states. And I hope these states, at least most or all of the blue states, or rather red states, will just tell the government, will simply tell Biden to go fly a kite, that they're not going to do it. Because, if, like you said, if they take away the National Guard, then these states won't have anything to protect themselves. They'll need these troops, such as those that Abbott is using in the southern border of Texas to keep the feds at bay that are coming down there and tearing down fences so that the illegals can come into Texas. So these states, these red states at least, of course the blue states are going to go along with it. Oh, they'll love it. They'll love it. But the red states, the governors need to stand up against this and tell Biden no go. And of course, what I foresee, if these states do this, if enough of them do them, then there is the great possibility of the Biden administration simply removing these governors by illicit means, as they have done in the past. The United States government is excellent in removing leaders of other countries and putting in their own. And that's what I fear would happen, is they would get rid of these governors and not allow any new elections where the people have a choice, and then simply appoint somebody to be the new governor, who, of course, will go along with what the government wants to do. So the government, the Biden's government, is in a dilemma here because they are still plan on seizing all the guns, which is not going to happen because you have, first of all, the militias who are not going to give up their guns. And you have the citizens of some states, such as Texas and Alaska, who will not give up their guns, no matter what kind of threats they receive from the government. So we have that, and it's going to be a standoff, and this may escalate possibly into a shooting war between the feds and the militias and the National Guards in these states that refuse to go along with the program. So we'll see.
Yeah, this is getting more and more to the place where, like the movie Civil War, they put out in April, came out. It's looking more and more like this is what they're shooting, you know, for. This is what they're aiming to do. And so, anyway, we're going to have to wait and see. There's a lot of things. I mean, there are a lot of balls in the air. It's not just one or two things. There's a lot of things happening, people. And I'm going to be sharing some things with you. And now I'm going to be talking a lot to the intercessors, our intercessors from the, from our ministry, and also all the intercessors out there that listen to this podcast. And you are intercessors, maybe on your own, or you are associated with another group of intercession. I'm going to talk to you about something very important, because this is something we need to target, and we need to target it now in prayer. And that is the upcoming pandemic accord this month. 194 nations are set to sign a pandemic accord, by who? Produced by who? The World Health Organization, that is binding this month. And I have talked about this a lot, and I want to reiterate, and I want to confirm, and I want to clarify and quantify this again, because this is something that we cannot allow to happen. We cannot allow this to happen. This would be the end of the United States as we know it. This is bad. This is horrible. And it would give this organization the ability to basically tell the United States and tell every other nation what to do and what not to do in case of a pandemic. This is what we're dealing with, people. This is the seriousness of what we're dealing with, and so I'm going to share with you some things here that are going to educate you, are going to, put knowledge in your, in your side, so you understand some of these things that are happening. And this pandemic program, okay, or this pandemic treaty, is really, really a threat. And I was reading some of this here yesterday and today, and I have talked about it, the fact that, you know, that they, that if this treaty is approved, it will destroy the you know, the sovereignty of this nation. So now 44 senators have written a letter and called on Biden to reject these two totalitarian agreements that surrender the U.S. sovereignty to who? And the World Health Organization, the director there, General Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus. And, you know, the, from May 27th, and today is May 7th, from the 27th of this month, okay, later in the month, until June the 1st of this year, the global elitists and the world leaders from all over the world are gathering in Geneva, Switzerland, for the WHO 77th World Health Assembly. The attendees from these 194 WHO member countries are set to vote on a major amendments to the international health regulations. And if this is signed and if they agree and this passes, this would effectively strip all power away from sovereign nations, turning it over to WHO and to WHO's global health board in the event of a pandemic. If the ratifications are agreed to this month, the WHO will be granted sole authority over what constitutes a pandemic. Are you listening? They are going to be able to determine, they will be given the authority to determine what constitutes a pandemic. Well, they call the pandemic COVID-19, even though doctors repeatedly say this is the same as a severe cold, a severe flu. They classified it as a pandemic because WHO decided it was a pandemic or a plandemic, and the nations cooperated with it and submitted to it. But that was back in 2019, 2020. And of course, the nations didn't have to do it, but they did it anyways, willingly. And many states also did it willingly. They didn't have to, but they did it willingly. And now they want to do this, and they want to make it a law so that they will have the authority to tell a nation like the United States, you have to do this and this, and you cannot go outside your homes, and you cannot do this, and you cannot do that, and you have to take the jab, and you have to take the passports with the digital passport, blah, blah, blah. Whatever they say, you have to do. In other words, global new world order. So, again, there was an article here in Politicom that it says in the past 27 years, or in the past, over the past years, anything qualifies as an existential threat to public health, including but not limiting to misinformation, parents protesting school boards, etc., free speech. And so the fact that WHO is on the cusp of unrestricted authority to decide these measures should terrify every American. And so there you have it. There you have it. So, you know, this Lou Dobbs also wrote an article in his website about this, about the 44 senators calling on Biden to reject the two totalitarian agreements. And also, while this is going on, April 20 of this year, just about 2 weeks, two, 3 weeks ago, Biden signed the reauthorization of surveillance program into law, despite privacy concerns. And I tell you, this was not a coincidence. This was not a coincidence. This was done to work hand in hand or glove in hand with this new WHO pandemic treaty. Are you following me? These people passed the law, the reauthorization of the surveillance program, and they are going to be able to to have surveillance over every single American. They are able now to, you know, listen in to your all the social platforms and all that you post online and everything that you write in emails that are not private. Are you following what I'm saying? Anything that you write out there and you speak out there, they are going to know and they're going to survey it, and they're going to determine if you are a threat to society or not. Big Brother, remember, 1984, George Orwell, it's here, folks. And so I wanted to share all that because along with that, there's something else I want to share, but I'm not going to say at this time. I'm going to wait till later. We may have a little time to talk about it. But and that is, you know, what they're fixing to do with the economy. I mean, these people are coming at us from every angle. So this situation here, we're going to see this happen, and we need to pray. We need to pray that God circumvents this treaty that they're fixing to take place this month at the WHO. And we are living in a time like we have never lived before, people. And we need to hit this thing with everything we got on our knees. And it's going to be that serious. And so these countries are going to be voting on this from May 27th to June the 1st. And this would effectively strip all the power from every nation, those that signed this thing, in the event of a pandemic. And so it will be handed over to WHO. And this will cause they will have then the control and legal authority to override the national sovereignty of the nations. So they're going to do this under the threat of a pandemic, declare an international health emergency, and then they'll be in charge. Martial law, new world order. This is not good. And then there was this article by Leo Holman, and I'm gonna end with this and turn it over to you, Chuck. The globalist solution to a pandemic: a new treaty that would essentially create a world government. And so this is what they want. This is how they were planning, and they're still planning to bring about their new world order, is through a pandemic treaty, because they saw it worked. They saw how they were able to bully the people. The people submitted in many countries, and they said, we can do this. So they were emboldened, even though a lot of people died, even though many of the lives of people were destroyed, their healths were destroyed, their businesses were destroyed, many lost their jobs. Many lost their jobs because they wouldn't take the jab. This is what they caused. And so with this, we have to make a decision. This is the last stand for the people. We need to get on our knees and pray like we've never prayed before, because it's either that or we're going to see gross darkness descend upon not just this country, but the entire world.
Yeah, this is just unbelievable, but believable, because we've seen what these people have been doing, starting out with the COVID-19 scam. And basically it was, they hoped to get a lot of people to take the shot. Not as many as they wanted to did, because the people, especially on alternative media, because the regular media, they wouldn't talk about it, but they got the word out real quick about what we were facing with this. And so this is what they want. This is, in effect, making all the nations just like North Korea, the one nation we use as an example of a total police state, where they have total control over the lives of everyone. And if you say anything that they don't like, you can end up being executed. And I've been praying fervently for Christians in North Korea. I know there are Christians there who are at risk of being found out, and they will just shoot them if they find them with a Bible or trying to witness to somebody. So this is, in effect, what WHO wants to do, is just have total police control over everyone. And we do need to pray against this pandemic accord. And as far as the spying goes, it's pretty well underway. If you look at videos concerning the system they have in China, for instance, it is literally total surveillance there now, and they're trying to bring that into the United States as well. And at that time, nothing will be safe from being surveyed by these people. Whatever you send email or social media, even when you send stuff through mail, they look through that also. And they can open up everything that they deem might have something in it that they can hold against you. So this is where we are. Like you said, Augusto, 1984, here we are. And people do need to pray against this, because this is just downright total demonic, what is happening here. Of course, we know the devil is trying to take over everything, but our prayers can make a difference in praying against this, because this will not end up well at all.
Yeah. I might be able to share a little more after the break and after we do the mailbag. So why don't we take a break right now, get your elements ready, and then when we return, we'll have communion together. This is the Mailbag Show, Chuck Wilson, and yours truly, Augusto Perez. We'll be right back.
John 2:15-17. Love not the things of the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God abides forever. Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. James 4:4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God.
welcome back. We're going to read a portion of scripture as we do when we have communion. And then we'll have a moment of silence to examine ourselves. And then we're going to partake of communion together. From the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 11, we're going to start reading there, verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. When we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait on one another. Now, this wasn't counsel from Paul to the church in Corinth, because they were just feasting instead of having communion. So we're going to take a short break here and a moment or two to examine ourselves, for repent of any sins we have committed. And then when we return, we'll have communion together. Thank you, Father dear. We just thank you today for the opportunity to come to you, and with so many other precious lambs all over the world, and have communion, where we celebrate this covenant, where we stand by faith. We stand by faith, and we thank you, Father. We bless these elements right now as we partake. We bless this piece of bread representing the body of Jesus Christ, your beloved Son. And we bless this fruit of the vine representing the shed blood of our Messiah. We thank you, Father, and we ask that when we partake communion, Lord, that you would use it to strengthen your people, to bless them people, heal your people, as we remember this covenant, the covenant where we stand in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, Father. You're a covenant-keeping God, and we worship you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's receive the body of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. After the same manner, he took the cup after he had eaten, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. So often as you drink it in remembrance of me. As we receive this fruit of the vine, Father, symbolic of the blood of Jesus Christ, touch your people, strengthen us and heal in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We give you praise and we give you thanks. We give you honor and we give you glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Blessed be your holy name. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you, Lord. All right. Let's start now mailbag. We have we don't have a lot, but we have some. We have a couple of mail. We have one here from Sister Susan.
God bless you, Brother Augusto. May the Lord continue to bless you and your family in Jesus' name. I wanted to ask your help in prayer. I had an unusual experience this morning. When I woke up, I heard the name Tijuana in my head. I am not familiar with Tijuana at all. I prayed to the Lord for mercy and salvation. I do feel heavy-hearted, not sure what it means. So I'm asking for help in prayer. I took a look at map on the internet and noticed that Tijuana is located between Mexico and California. Shalom. Sister Susan T.
Praise God. Thank you, Sister Susan. This experience you had when you woke up, you heard a name. Yeah, and that is probably you heard something mentioned in the spirit, and you heard the name Tijuana, which is, you are absolutely right. It is located right there at the border with between Mexico and California. It's not far from San Diego. And yeah, Tijuana, when the Lord drops something like that, it means, you know, pray for that. Pray for that city, because there may be something here that may be getting ready to happen, and the enemy may be getting ready to do. And so we need to pray for, you know, whatever plans of the enemy is planning to be disrupted in the mighty name of Jesus. So why don't we do that right now? Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, and we lift up Lord Tijuana and the surrounding area there in San Diego and the United States in California. Father, we pray that your hedge of protection will be over that area, that region, for something, Lord, whatever it is, whether it be a storm, whether it be an earthquake, whatever it may be, Lord, that you will protect that area in the precious name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So thank you for, alerting Susan. And we thank you, Lord, also for allowing us to know so that we are able to pray together. And in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. So the people need to continue to pray, especially those in that area, for that region.
Amen. Thank you, Susan.
Now, here's one from Diana.
Thank you for reading my previous email. I wrote down some notes, wondering if I could ask for prayer. I am feeling blocked and at work, along with some other areas, but I am praying and fasting to hear from the Lord. I feel like even hearing from him is very blocked. I feel it's very difficult to hear God. I'm meeting resistance on multiple fronts to change my job situation or any of the situations I need help in. There are three main areas I really need breakthrough, but I was hoping for prayer from you and your intercessors about the work situation. Thank you for praying last time. The lady who helped with the deliverance said the room was full of angles, totally packed. That had not happened before, and not without results. Big stuff is now gone. Thank you for everyone that prayed. I remember walking around the next few days thinking I feel different, like a different person. Thank you. Diana.
Well, thanks, Diana, for writing. And I know you're having a job situation there, difficult. And it's like I shared with you before a few times last year, and you just have something you have to do. And I mean, prayer can help, but it's just one of those things that until it's done, it's there. It's like a sore thumb, you know. It's like when you have a thorn in your foot, You have to, you can pray all you want, but until you remove that thorn from the foot, it's not going to go away. And that's the situation here. So we're going to pray that the Lord continues to help you. But again, like I told you before, you're going to have to basically, take a step, make a decision. And this is something that you're going to have to deal with. And the Lord is not going to be able to help you there. It's something that you need to help with, and you need to take care of. And this is one of the things that a lot of people do not realize, and even after years in the ministry, that there are many things that prayer can help with, but prayer is not a magic wand for every situation. And there are situations that require prayer, but there are a lot of situations that require actions. And so when something needs to be done, the person has to do what they need to do. And then the Lord will need to do what only he can do. So, Father, we ask that you give Diana the wisdom and the discernment to continue to do the what she needs to do, Lord, regarding that job. And, Father, that you would open the door for helping her to do that, Lord, and that you would cause her family to understand, Lord, and to cooperate and help her in Jesus' precious name. God bless you, Diana. Good to hear from you.
Thank you, Diana. God bless you.
All right. So there we are. Now, I got an email from Larry. He was not feeling well, and so we need to uphold him in prayer. Chuck, would you lead us in prayer for Larry so he gets better?
Yes, I will. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray for Larry and Darnett. We pray for their health. We pray for their healing, Father. We pray, Father, that whatever they do as far as going to see the doctor and getting any medication that they need for their difficulties, that you give the doctor wisdom, Father, to give them something that will not have any bad side effects, but will help them. And I just pray that you heal Larry and Darnett, Father, and bring them back to good health, Father, because that is your will for your people, for us to be in good health. And we thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
All right. Praise God. And that is it for the mailbag. We appreciate those of you that wrote in and sent in your prayer requests and your dreams and whatever, questions. And so, you know, I just want to mention to you, you know, you can do that. You can send in your questions, your dreams, your visions, and you can send in all these things, prayer requests, testimonies, and you can send it to me here at the appearance, and we will share it, and you know, we will share it on the mailbag, and we will, depending on what it is, we will deal with it. Okay? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. So I wanted to share now something with you, and it ties with what I was sharing before, the fact that, you know, these people were planning everything and are planning everything to together, and you know, this is it's like a big octopus, that has many, many tentacles, and they are trying to squeeze, you know, one at a time, you know, and it's victim. It's like a prey dealing with its victims. And one of the things that I was reading that they're also planning, and this came out on March 26 on Reuters, it says SWIFT is planning launching a new central bank digital currency in 12 to 24 months. So that would be 2025 or 2026, according to them, the latest. They want to have this thing. So they want to have the new world finance, right? The global finance system in place by 2025, 2026. They want to have this pandemic treaty, so they gives him the global government. I mean, these people are hell-bent on bringing about their new world order, and they're coming at us from every angle. They're coming at us from every angle. And so we need to pray, and we need to believe the Lord that he is not going to allow this to happen. And so according to this article from Reuters, Global Bank Messaging Network, SWIFT, is planning a new platform in the next couple of years to connect a wave of central bank digital currencies now in development. And and so this is a very significant move for the CBDC system, and is the SWIFT's role in the banking. And so 90%, according to the article, of the world's central banks are now exploring digital versions of their currencies. 90%. The banks don't want to be left behind by Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies and are grappling with technological complexities. So there you have it. I mean, if it's not one thing, it's another. These people are going to do it. They're going to do it, and only God can stop them. Now, I was, I've been talking about this for a long time, but I was doing some studying and some research and praying this weekend, and I was looking at, you know, the United States, because a lot of people do not realize and do not understand that America made a covenant with God, and I believe in covenants, and I know that God believes in covenants. He's a covenant-keeping God, and, you know, there's an article, and we're going to post this today, or I may send this out in a special, you know, in our newsletter. We haven't sent one out in a while. We've been very busy. I may send this out in a while. But America, you know, the newly formed government of America in 1789, the House, the Senate, gathered for the inauguration of George Washington. And George Washington gave a prophetic warning. He said, "We ought to be no less persuaded that the propitious smiles of heaven can never be expected on a nation that disregards the eternal rules of order and the right which heaven itself has ordained." And so Washington's warning was, if we would begin to depart from God, he would remove his blessings, his prosperity, and his protection from our nation. That's from the lips of George Washington. And so this is, you know, America, he dedicated America to God. He dedicated America to God. And he made a covenant with God over America. And in 1789, you know, so George Washington was chosen unanimously in 1789 as the new nation's first president without anybody dissenting, not one dissenting vote. And so when George Washington was inaugurated president, he gave the very first presidential oath and the first inaugural address in New York City. That day, New York City also He said that God honors covenants, and he would always keep his end of the bargain. George Washington knew that. The question is, would the United States keep hers? And so Washington opened the Bible at random to Genesis 49. He placed his left hand upon the open Bible. Washington raised his right hand, and then he proceeded to take the following oath. He said, "I do solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute the office of the President of the United States and will, the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States, so help me God." And then he bent over as an act of reverence for his God, and he kissed the Bible. And he mentioned that God saved his life many times over. And so, and then he delivered his first inaugural address. He opened with prayer. He said, "It would be particularly improper to omit the first initial act, my fervent supplications to the Almighty Being who rules over the universe, who presides over the councils of nations, and whose providential aids can supply every human defect, that this benediction, his benediction, may consecrate to the liberties and happiness of the people of the United States, a government instituted by themselves for this essential purposes." And then he said, "No people can be bound to knowledge and adore the invisible hand which conducts the affairs of men more than the people of the United States. Every step in which they have advanced to the character of an independent nation seems to have distinguished by some token of providential agency the important revolution just accomplished in the system of the United States, the tranquil liberations of voluntary consent." And he goes on to talk about that. I don't want to read the whole thing because it's kind of lengthy. And then he said, He said, since we ought to be no less persuaded that the propitious smiles of heaven can never be expected on a nation that disregards the eternal rules of order and right, which heaven itself has ordained, and since the preservation of the sacred life, the sacred fire of liberty, the destiny of the republican model of government are justly considered as deeply, perhaps finally staked on the experiment entrusted to the hands of the American people. And so there you go. So basically, on that day, Washington dedicated the this nation to the Lord. And he did that on the little chapel that stood. It's called the Little Chapel That Stood, St. Paul's Chapel, which was constructed in 1776, which is the oldest church building in Manhattan. He dislocated less than 100 yards from the World Trade Center. And this church, this church became known as the Little Chapel That Stood because it survived the collapse of the Twin Towers in 9/11. And it is widely believed that the church was protected by a giant sycamore tree that was planted in St. Paul's graveyard. And so this is just a few little tidbits, just a little bit of what happened. And the fact that, you know, this nation has a history of with the Lord, and which started by the pilgrims, and the pilgrims landed here. And so I said all that to say that I do believe that the United States of America, the Republic of the United States of America, will not be destroyed because of that covenant that still stands. God is a God keeping, he's a covenant keeping God. And therefore, I do have prayers and hope, and based on the George Washington, which also was given a vision regarding the three perils of America, the last one being the most dangerous, which I believe we are right now in. So take it for what you want, take it or leave it. But I do believe, and this is what I subscribe to, I do believe that America, no matter how that decadent and corrupted it has become, if the people which are called by his name, according to 2 Chronicles 7:14, shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then God will hear from heaven and heal their land. That is in Scripture.
Yeah, it's very amazing what George Washington said when he did make that covenant. And that's what people need to do in this country, and they're not doing it, you know, other than the Christians, and that is repenting of what they have done. This nation has committed such grievous sins against other countries and against God. And this is something that we need to hold in prayer as well, is that that we can be delivered from destruction. Like you say, America won't be destroyed, and we should pray for that. This is just something that we need to hold in prayer and pray every day for this, because I'm sure the founding fathers, including George Washington, knew in their hearts that eventually something like this would happen to America. Of course, George Washington had the vision about the three perils facing America. And the founding fathers, when they created the, you know, the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence and so forth, knew that there would be peril coming to America, because they have looked at history and seen this happening over and over again in countries that ended up being destroyed because they started doing evil and did not honor God. And so that's what we see in America right now. And it's really a shame, because most people, I believe, don't really understand this and don't understand what's coming upon America, although they're beginning to get a glimpse of it if they listen to Biden, what he's doing, and the WHO and so forth. But these are very sobering words and worthy of daily prayers please, when you pray, intercessors and everyone out there, pray every day. Make it an everyday thing that you pray, come to the before the Lord and pray for these things, because prayer does change things.
Yeah, and you know, as you pray, water this covenant that George Washington made on that day with God, you know, for America, and pray accordingly. Pray according to covenant, because God is a God of covenant. And so this is how you pray, you know, you pray according to covenant. So anyway, our time is running now out. I'm going to share one more article, and then we will, you know, turn it over to Chuck for final comments, and then we will wrap it up. There is an article here that came out, and says World News Daily, more Chinese illegals apprehended at the southern border in 2 days, more than in all of 2021. So there you have it. Why are so many Chinese illegals being apprehended at the southern border? More in 2 days than in the whole year of 2021. That is kind of alarming. And, you know, they were caught by the Border Patrol in San Diego sector on May 1st, and then 262 on May 1st, and 223 on May the 2nd, the CBP source told, you know, the news. And so, what is going on? Why are there so many of these people coming in? I mean, surely some of them are, you know, people that want freedom from their oppressive Chinese government, but so many of them, I don't know. This kind of stinks to high heaven. There's something going on here. I don't know. And then all of the other stuff going on, and people coming in there, people that are known terrorists coming through. No, this doesn't look good.
Yeah, we do have all of these illegals coming in, particularly Chinese, because I believe that these are members of the Chinese military. They're all young men of military age. And they're flooding the country. They're coming in through our border here and probably just about every place they can get across the border between Mexico and America. And the reason for that is China wants to have an army already in place, I believe, when they drop the hammer and say now is the time. Because I believe that they have their uniforms, their weapons, and even their vehicles here in America. I believe that there are a lot of Chinese already in Mexico ready to come across the border with Mexican troops when the word is given to rush the border and come into this country and declare their own martial law. I mean, we're going to have martial law from the federal government, but they're going to be working with these troops from China and Russia, I believe. So you're going to have these foreign troops everywhere, and it's going to be very difficult to move around, to go anywhere or be out on the streets, because they'll probably just turn you back if you're trying to go anywhere, and you're going to have to go back home. And you probably don't want to be outside during the night, because no doubt they'll have a curfew. So this is what is happening, these military that are flooding in here and setting up the invasion is taking place right now. And this is setting up the attack on the United States, which will come not only from without, but also from within. It is just amazing.
Yeah, the invasion is on. The war is on. So we could either have a nuclear holocaust, either in the area of the Middle East or in the area of Europe in Ukraine with Russia. Then you got the Formosa, right, which is Taiwan. The situation there, China, is about to erupt. And then you're having this Chinese now coming in through the borders. And then you have the what they're doing with the with the WHO. And the treaty, I mean, they're coming at us from every possible angle. It's like they're throwing everything they can at us right now. And This is why they do not want their plans disrupted by another Trump presidency. No matter what you think of Trump, if he puts his foot in the door, he will probably hold the door there so that they cannot continue to close the door. And so we need to think about all these things that we have shared, pray. And then when you have prayed, pray some more. Thank you, Chuck, for being with us. Thank you all for tuning in. This has been another edition of the Mailbag Show. Until next time, God bless you. Shalom.